We now will move further east to Bulgaria. Veni Markovski, who is the chair of the ISOC Bulgaria board. He's also a member of the ICANN board, and he's the country coordinator of the Global Internet Policy Initiative. And he started working on a free and open source software project with UNDP, and also made some interventions at policy level regarding free and open source software.
Thank you. Now, I have to ask you first a question. Has anyone here been last night at the last session at 8 o'clock? Okay, only four people, so you'll hear something again, or portions of it. Because I had to fill in the last night seminar quite quickly for somebody from Brazil who couldn't make it. Now, the free and open source or the FOSS development in Bulgaria has been really in its early stages, in its early organizational stages, because the people who developed the FOSS in Bulgaria, they've been mainly technical people, hackers, crackers, whatever you call that politically correctly. They just recently founded a non-governmental organization called Association for Free Software, or Free Software Association. And it's they're just now finding out what could be the power of such organization when they're dealing with other organizations, with the government, with the police in some cases. That makes them very fragile. And the Internet Society of Bulgaria has stepped into that process a couple of years, well, now 3 years ago, I believe, when the new government of Bulgaria came to power in 2001. It was a totally surprised government, totally surprised results from the elections, because you would expect, like in every normal European country, to have left and right parties fight for the votes. Well, in 2001, just 2 months before the elections, the ex-king of Bulgaria, who was expelled from the country in 1946 when he was something like 9 years old, he came to Bulgaria and he said, I will create a new party, I will demolish the political model that has been so far in Bulgaria, vote for me, and within 800 days we'll have a great country. And people, believe it or not, people trusted this guy. And they voted for him, so he made a, he created, I mean, he had a majority in the parliament, and he founded a new government. So all the things that really we've been used to in like a normal democracy, like you can go and negotiate with political parties and reach a political agreement on, say, implementing FOSS in several governmental administrations or several municipalities. Now, after 2001, this was over, because in this political movement, the new party, which is named after the ex-king of Bulgaria, there is no such thing as political will. You go, and Bob Horowitz is here, he's been in Sofia, you go and talk to Minister of State Administration, he says, that's a wonderful idea, and then nothing happens. Then you go to the Minister of Foreign Affairs and he says, wow, you know, let's encourage development of Bulgaria in the IT field, and then nothing happens. However, while we were trying to approach the government and the private sector with the usual ways of communications, you know, you go and you bring a plan and say, you know, if we use FOSS for the government administration, that will save $15 million, and if we use only open office, that will save $10 million and stuff like that. While we were doing this for the good of the country, companies like Microsoft would go to the government and would say, you need to buy software or otherwise we'll put Bulgaria in the black 301 list of the US government. And this list there are several levels in the list, so if you go to the top level, then they may implement some trade sanctions. And this was the official thing that we know. Unofficially, we know that there have been Microsoft distributors that were going to Bulgarian governmental officials and politicians and were saying, you know, why don't you buy software from us, Microsoft software, through our channel? In return, we'll give you 80 computers, or we'll give you 100 computers for your political party. And it seems that this model worked better than ours, because we still, in 2001, we still believed in the good beginning of people, you know, the good nature of people. It turned out that when we talk about numbers and digits, there is no such thing as, you know, public interest. The only interest that exists is the personal economic interest. So we didn't realize that until last year, actually. We thought that this is a mistake, that we have to educate them, that, you know, they got it wrong or something. But last year, when the government, in a continuous effort, decided to buy another tens of thousands of Microsoft licenses, this time for the education, we made a research and we found out through statistical data coming from the Ministry of Education that out of the 20-something thousand computers that they have in schools, only 847 are capable of working with Windows XP and Office XP. Like, they have enough RAM, enough hard drive, enough CPU speed. And at this point, we decided that there is no point in trying to educate people who obviously know very well what the situation is, but they have other interests behind that. And we filed a case at we sent a letter to the chief prosecutor's office, and for our biggest surprise, the prosecution started to work on this letter. They questioned several people from the Ministry of Education. They asked them to provide them proofs that indeed there are 35,000 computers in the schools. We have about 3,000 schools, by the way, all together. I mean, high schools and big schools for beginners or whatever you call that. The people at the ministry couldn't prove that, so they announced a public bid at the end of December for, instead of 35,000 licenses, which was the original idea and the original agreement between Microsoft and the minister, they announced a bid for 18,000 copies. We still talked to the police who are investigating this case, and we told them that even this number is much bigger than they need. And the result is that, from all our activities, is that at the end, now, there was a bid, there was a winner, a company won the bid, offering $13.6. So it's really cheap, by the way, for Windows XP and Office XP. But because the ministry cannot prove that they even have these 18,000, it's not yet closed. So we still have about $800,000 in the budget, thanks to our efforts. And in the meantime, the Internet Society started to talk with the UNDP in New York, thanks to a person that some of you know, George Sadowski from the Global Internet Policy Initiative, who brought me there so that we can talk to another great fan of the FOSS, Raul Zambrano from UNDP in New York. And Raul is from Colombia, so probably that makes sense why he's a great fan of free and open source. And we started to talk about creating a project in Bulgaria which will give a model for using FOSS on the local municipality level. At this point, this was last year in November, we already knew that there is no point in trying to reach the government on the central administration, because they would never go for free and open source software, because they understand free as free of charge. They don't understand free as free market. And they don't realize that even with free and open source software, you still can make money. That doesn't mean you don't pay for it. So we created this project with UNDP, and it was just announced yesterday officially. One city in Bulgaria with 69,000 people population will migrate to Linux, and we will create a web portal based on Linux, and we will allow citizens to use the e-government services. Now, why is this important? Because the government, the national government of Bulgaria, has created a web portal. It's called egateway.government.bg. And if you go there, this is really amazing, because there was a discussion, public discussion. We blamed the government for creating this portal, because you go there and the first thing you see on the middle of the page says, in order to use this, the services of the e-government of Bulgaria, you need to have Microsoft .NET framework version 1.1 installed on your computer. If you read further, you understand that you don't only need that, but you also need to have Internet Explorer. So basically what they did, and of course, you read further down and you see a note saying, this portal is produced by Microsoft, Bulgaria, and a company called CAPK, which is a Microsoft, the biggest Microsoft distributor. And of course, if they have produced a portal for e-government services, the only thing they know is how to use Microsoft. But we raised the argument that this actually also forces the people to use Windows and Internet Explorer. So as we speak today or tomorrow, oh wait, today is Friday, so today or Monday, there is a letter that several people prepared in Bulgaria, among them several members of the parliament, which is going to be sent to the Fair Trade Commission in Bulgaria, challenging this fact that the Council of Ministers of Bulgaria has proposed a portal which actually totally abolishes any type of competition. You cannot have a competition if all the services you provide require Internet Explorer and Windows. So on the municipality level, we think that it's much easier, much more convenient, because mayors really know what a saving means. If you save to the budget $10 million, that's probably work for the accountants, which is calculated at $15 million. And if you save to the mayor or to the city municipality $10,000 from switching from using Windows to Linux or from using MS Office to Open Office, that's a saving. These $10,000 can be used in real life next, so they can reach actually the people. And this project is a pilot one in Bulgaria. It is open for countries from the region, but also from other Central and East European countries, including the Baltic countries. So feel free to distribute this information among people you know from the region, so that they can actually approach their mayors or their municipalities and then come to us and ask us to go in their city. I think this is important, because usually when we argue, like with experts, and they say, okay, show us a working solution based on Linux or based on open source. Now, of course, that's a tricky question, because if you make a statistical research of all the websites in the Bulgarian government, so everything that ends at government.bg, you will find out that about 60% of those websites are running on Linux, and of the other 40%, about 90% are using Apache. So the people who work in the state administration, they know pretty well which is the best solution for them. But publicly, they never go and they never speak, because they are working for the government, so that's not appropriate. And the other thing which I believe would be kind of relevant to that issue, and different from what we've been talking yesterday, is that the Bulgarian affiliate of the Business Software Alliance, BSA, has managed to get into training the police on combating computer crimes. And of course, the biggest computer crime in Bulgaria is not hacking, it's using illegal software. And when we talk about illegal software, the best example is people use Windows. Now, if we're in Germany, as far as I know, the German prosecution never goes after individuals to see whether they have legal software at home. If somebody wants to prove their case, they don't ask the prosecution to do that, but they file a civil case. And they have to prove that whoever is using illegal software at home. This is, however, this relates to the money that the complainer pays to the government, or to the court, rather, for bringing this case. And in Bulgaria, it's the same story, because if BSA or if Microsoft wants to challenge someone or some company or organization for using illegal software, they just have to file a case, pay 4% of the estimate amount of money that they're losing, and this is a lot of money, because they calculate the amount of money that they're losing in a really weird way. For example, you're at home, you have installed Windows XP on your computer, and you have copied this software on the hard drive so that if you need updates, you will not use the CD but just update it from the drive. For Microsoft, this is using twice two copies of software. So they say you have cost us not $300 but $600 losses. Even if your Windows is legal, if you copy it like this, they will still say you are using it once illegally. So what they do is they don't go through the civil procedure process, but they rather go to the police. And when the police starts this investigation, the prosecution starts this, then nobody pays any charges. So what we do is, what we have in Bulgaria is that Microsoft is suing people using our own money in order for them to get their money. And they not only use the police, but they use a special department in the police, which is called National Service for Combating Organized Crime. Now, this, by law, this service has to fight organized crime. They use this service to combat individuals or companies that are using illegal software. This is something I cannot explain. I mean, consider it as a cross-cultural difference between East and West. What they also do is they support favorable publications in the media for Microsoft, and they oppress any for the free and open source software. And it's much easier for me to publish something good about free and open source software movement in Bulgaria at the International Herald Tribune than to publish it in any of the Bulgarian daily newspapers. I mean, this sounds really awful, but it's the truth. And the other thing which they did, and they did it knowingly, Microsoft knew about it, in 1999, they sold to the government all the software that the government needed. There was a big campaign, and it indeed, at this time, no computer in the government was using legal software. So the government spent millions of dollars to buy all the software they need. Since 1999, every computer that has been obtained by government has been with pre-installed Windows and Office, and we have paid for that. And in 2001, they knew that, and they signed a new contract with the government to sell new 30,000 copies of Windows and Office. So I can easily say, and I guess it's not that difficult to prove, that Bulgarian government is the only government in the world that has two copies of legal software per each computer. One which was bought in 1999, the other one which was bought in 2001. The 2001 copies, they were not bought, they were rented under the new license agreement for 3 years. So we paid $450 per copy per computer, which means that this year, after the 3 years are gone, either the government has to pay 50% of the price, another $7 million, and obtain the software forever, Windows XP, Office XP, or sign a new contract to prolong the term of the previous one for another 3 years. Or the other option is, if we don't pay $7 million, we don't buy it for probably $20 million, we just have to remove it from the computers and use something else. Now, this option will not happen this year. But next year, there are elections in Bulgaria. Hopefully, we'll get rid of those guys and we'll be able to get into the parliament some people who really know what free and open source is, so that they can help us when this new contract expires to migrate to free and open source software. And the last thing I want to say about the free and open source movement, these are the weaknesses that we face. There are two main weaknesses. First of all, the FOSS movement is not well organized. The Free Software Association is not really working quite well. And they don't accept help, which is a pity. And the second weakness is that all the people who are somehow related to the free and open source movement are quite technically involved in this. There are discussion forums where they talk about, like, the new draft of law for using FOSS in the administration. And what you can hear from 99% of the people discussing is, oh, come on, this is not our work. Let's localize OpenOffice, or let's translate the Mandrake, or whatever. They don't want to deal with actually policy working. And here comes our contribution, ISOC Bulgaria, with the help of the Open Source Institute, the Open Society Institute, sorry, the Open Source Institute. It's very difficult to describe this OSI, you know. Open Source, no, Open Society, Open Source, it's so mixed, you know. You cannot just create a proper way to say it. So we'll be in the UNDP, and we'll be working as much as we can to make sure that we contribute to that. And tonight, when we have the announcement of Creative Commons Germany at 8 o'clock, I think, in a few weeks, hopefully we'll have also, or in a few months, but for sure before the fall, we'll have also the Creative Commons adapted in Bulgarian, and that's another thing that we want to push forward. And of course, if you have questions at the end, I'm ready to answer.
Okay, thanks, Benny, for this.